Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of From the Lions Cove Podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today we have a very special guest, my friend, Natalie Adante.
Good to be here.
Hey, we have a very interesting setup for today. I know you guys can't see on camera, but we got to go to a different location because the school is closed. I'm not sure why they're closed. Usually I always go in my classroom, but unfortunately we had to do a little makeshift area, and we are currently, you know, just adapting to this change. Had to find a nice little quiet area where we can film this podcast, and yeah, I'm glad everything is all set up, all fixed up, so, you know, I'm very blessed to be able to still film this episode today, because I was kind of worried about that, but yeah, I mean, I've known Natalie for a long time. She's been a longtime friend of mine, and we've stayed close throughout high school. I think since like the 10th grade we've known each other. So it's been crazy. It's been a long journey, but you know, we've always stayed close, and I'm very blessed for that. And also, not to mention, if the audio is kind of messed up a little bit,
just want to clear that right now.
Sorry about that, but I think it should be good. I could check one more time. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's good. Sorry about that. But yeah. So today we're going to go through Natalie's journey throughout soccer. She was a great soccer player throughout her high school journey and is now in the sports management department at Bowling Green. Her resume is jam-packed, and I'm excited to talk about this journey with you, Natalie.
Yeah.
All right. So to give Natalie a proper introduction, so she was on varsity for 3 years, varsity starter for 3 years. 2017 varsity team, conference third place, 2018 varsity team, first team all conference, and she was rocking the jersey number one. Number one is the greatest number of all time, so props to you for wearing that. And then we got 2020 varsity team, jersey number one. We got second team all area, second team all county, first team all conference, and then team awards, regional second place, sectional champs, conference champs. She played 8 years of club soccer. In 2018, she played for Ambassadors FC. They were the 2018 U.S. Club Ohio State Premier Champions, and they placed fifth at the National Cup Finals in 2018. So pretty good right there. She's also been to events such as the Crossroads Showcase, Blue Chip Showcase, Gateway Showcase, and the National Cup Finals. So I learned, you know, that the National Cup Finals is all the teams combined into one. So finally I realized that. But 2020 varsity team, she had 14 shutouts, 70 total saves, 0.5 goals against, and an incredible 88% save rate. I mean, that's pretty insane. So to get into the first question, how did you first get into soccer, and what made you fall in love with the sport?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I used to live in Columbus, and there was this little like rec team going on behind like my house. Like literally I just had to like walk outside, and I was already there. Goals are set up, you know, a little co-ed action. Yeah. And you know, I just started getting into that because, you know, a lot of people's parents put them in soccer when they're really young. Like, yeah. I don't know a lot of people that have not played soccer when they were like 5 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, just got started with that, and like ever since then just kind of stuck with it, I guess.
Wow. So did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah. So I did track and field. I threw shot and disc in middle school. I stopped like halfway through freshman year. Just wasn't for me anymore. And then I also played basketball from sixth grade to freshman year.
Okay, nice.
So that was a little bit longer, but, you know, yeah.
Wow. So rate your jump shot on a scale.
Oh my gosh. Definitely like on a good day, a 4. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was not sweet with that. No, like it was so bad.
Wow. So when did you kind of move to Cleveland from Columbus?
So, I moved from Columbus when I was like six, I want to say. I moved here when I was six. I moved to University Heights, you know, right here, represent. And so I was here till I was 12. And then I moved to Sugar Land Falls, which is like 30 minutes south of here. So yeah, that's kind of what I moved up here.
Nice. So kind of talk a little bit about your, you know, experience, you know, growing up playing soccer to like the middle school team.
Yeah. So, you know, I joined a club team when I got here to University Heights, select, you know, real ones know. But so I played for them and it wasn't like anything too competitive, but it was like my first sight of like seeing what actually like competitive soccer was.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, playing for fun. And so, you know, played there for a little bit. And then I was in middle school, played for the middle school team. It was funny, like, not a lot of middle schools had, like, soccer teams for some reason, like, I feel like.
Yeah.
But, like, ours did. And it was kind of weird. Like, I hated the coach. I didn't like, like, I didn't like a lot of, like, girls on my team per se. But, like, you know, in that moment, I was just like, hey, that's something to do. Like, I really didn't. Like, it was just, like, it was just kind of, like, there at that point.
Wow. So, it sounds like you had a pretty interesting experience for your middle school time. But, obviously, you know, came in as a freshman making varsity soccer for the first time. So, how did you adjust to the level of competition?
So, luckily, when I started playing, like, freshman year, I, a lot of teams in the area I knew, like, girls on the team because I've been playing with them for clubs. So, like, honestly, the competition, it wasn't really, like, that intimidating. But I think the competitiveness wasn't what I had to, like, adapt to. It was more of just, like, the girls on the team. Because, you know, like, being a freshman on varsity, like, I initially took the spot from our senior goalkeeper, which was not a good thing for me. Yeah, she... it was just like, it was hard because you, like, you know, like they, like she hated me, you know, I mean, I would too, like, I'm not mad at that, but it's just like, she made like my life freshman year, like hell, like it was just like, she wouldn't add me to the group chat because she said there was no freshmen allowed, even though I was, you know, playing with them every week and I needed to know what we were doing, like, plans we had with the team. But, yeah, so it was, like, the competitiveness was, like, nothing for me. It was just, like, an everyday, like, kind of thing. But, like, you know, just adapting to the people who I was around was the most difficult part.
Right. And also, too, you know, especially being, like, a freshman, I'm sure you're one of, like, you know, a few freshmen to play varsity.
Yeah. I was the only freshman, actually, in my class.
So, I mean, which is pretty scary because, you know, like, as a freshman, you're in a whole new environment.
Yeah.
And then with juniors and seniors, you know, they kind of have their own group kind of, you know, set up already. So,
yeah.
But, wow, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you played club soccer for 8 years, as we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So, how did that experience compare to your time on the school team in terms of competition, coaching, and, like, team dynamics?
Yeah, so club was obviously more intense. You know, I had, like, a lot more intense coaches. Like, I had this, like, one of my first goalkeeper coaches, he was this, like, old Italian guy. And, like, I remember it being, like, raining, like, pouring rain. And we're having to do diving drills in the mud. And if we miss a save, we have to, like, go sprint around the field, like, this dude was intense, like, yelling at you, like, the foreign accent just makes it so much worse. And I swear, every coach I've had for club has been foreign, so it's just, like, five times more scarier whenever they yell at you compared to, like, high school when it's just, like, you know, I love my high school coaches, well, one of them, but we'll get to that. But, yeah, so it was just, like, a lot more intimidating for club, and obviously, like, it, like, you're paying to be on a club team, so it's a lot more, like, you know, figure it out because, like, we're paying good money for it. And then, you know, just obviously, like, they're there to enhance your skills and, like, get you ready to play, like, college, get you ready to play at the next level, wherever you want to go. So I think that it was just more, like, definitely intense for a club. But, yeah, high school is more of just, like, fun little, like, I almost took it as, like, a break between. But, like, also, like, my school was pretty decent, especially, like, in our conference. Like, we were known for, like, being, like, one of the, the strongest team in the conference. So, like, it was a little intimidating that way, but it was more of just, like, fun, social.
Right.
And just, like, you know, keeping up playing soccer in between.
Yeah, and, like, even kind of going back to, like, you know, I guess, like, the club level, like, for AAU basketball, you know, you're definitely paying to play. And the coaches are definitely going to be, you know, tough on you because they want you to get the most, you know, experience out of it. And also, too, you know, in Europe, soccer is huge. You know, here in the U.S., like, it's big, but, you know, we have football, we have basketball, we have baseball, you know, we have different stuff, whereas they focus a ton on soccer. I mean, and, like, even, like, during, like, basketball games, like, the crowds are just insane. So, like, they, like, over in Europe, like, they love sports. So, like, having coaches, like, from over there, like, they will push you to be great. So, I'm sure even though in that moment that experience was definitely kind of hard, I'm sure he made you, like, a better player.
Oh, yeah. Sure. No, I learned a lot, like, just from, like, characteristic-wise. Like, it made me, like, who I am today. Like, you know, being able to, like, be coachable and, like, learn how to persevere through a lot of things, too.
Yeah, and then even through those, like, club experiences, the kind of like how you mentioned, you know, the people that you played against, you know, in club, you played against in high school too. So like, I'm sure it was cool because you got to, you know how people, you know, their like skills, their different, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember playing Hawken and this one girl that I knew, like she was always good. Like she played for Lehigh for a little bit, but now she's at Ohio State. But I like remember because I would scout the teams a lot with, like, my coach because, you know, I was really good at, like, reading, like, other people, other players. So we were scouting for that game, and, like, so I knew this player. She was a lefty. So it was funny. She actually got a penalty kick against me in that game, and she – I knew which way she was going. I knew it. And it was funny, but she missed it, but I dove the right way. So, like, you know, if it was on target, I would have gotten it. So it's just crazy, like, how, like – that can mix in with high school.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely crazy.
Yeah.
So you had a standout year in 2018, but eventually tore your ACL during the 2019 season. So what was that recovery process like, and how did overcoming that, like, setback motivate you to come back stronger for your senior year?
Yeah, so the month I tore my ACL was probably one of the hardest months, like, in my life. And it wasn't just because of the ACL. Like, I was going through, like, things with, like, at home. I was going through things, like, with school. And it just was not, like, it seemed like my life was falling apart at that point. And so, but, so my surgeon who did my knee, he's very good. He's the orthopedic for the Browns. He did Nick Chubb's knee, even though he just did something again. So, you know, but, you know, I kind of trusted that he was going to do a good job, and, you know, it, like, it was pretty much my, not problem, but, like, it was kind of my, like, responsibility to do whatever I can to get back. And, you know, I had a team counting on me. Like, I remember texting our team's group chat. I was like, hey, like, guys, I tore my ACL. And then, like, I remember all of them saying, like, oh, crap, like, what about the season? Like, you know, like. Like, they were comforting, but also it was just, like, dang, like, we're not going to go to districts, dang, like, all this. So I was like, nah, like, I have to get back because, like, you know, there's unfinished business here. And so that was just a very big motivation for me.
Like, how did, like, that team, like, end up doing, like?
Yeah, so it was funny. So we had this goalkeeper, and I'm trying to put this in a good way. We had this goalkeeper, and, you know, like, she played club, whatever, but, like, you know, her attitude just was not there. So we actually took one of our defenders, and I had to coach her up to be a goalie that season. And, you know, the team was actually, like, pretty decent. I think we lost in district semis, but, we won the conference again. And, you know, we had a good year. And, you know, like, I was coaching, you know, I was coaching the goalkeeper, I was coaching – you know, like, assistant coach kind of vibe. But no, I was like all I really could do was be there for everyone. And, like, I took that to heart. Like, I remember people being injured. I would hang out with them. Like, you know, it was funny. One of the girls I played with, when it was my senior day, she gave a speech and she was telling me how about like she had a broken foot the same year I had my torn ACL. Yeah. And she told me that like with me talking about like my rehab and like going through all of that, like it made her want to do better and get through that. And like it really gave her motivation. So it was just like really like, it, like, I don't know. I took a lot of pride in, you know, yeah, motivating other people. And it definitely paid off and made like the team better.
Props to you for doing that, because you know a lot of people that you know get hurt, they're kind mm-hmm. of just doing like their own thing,
yeah,
you know, kind of focusing on themselves. But the fact that you kind of went back to, you know, help out like the mm-hmm. team, kind of coach, give advice, I mean, that's yeah, that's being like a great teammate, also yeah, being a great leader, because yeah, a lot of people can't do that, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely hard. Like, you know, there's a lot of times where I was just like, yeah, there's a lot of times I could have been sorry for myself. Like, you know, there's been multiple times where, like, after games, I would go cry in the car because it's, like, it's emotional, like, not yeah, watching your team play without you. But, you know, life goes on. The world keeps spinning. And just, like, do what you can while, like, you have the opportunity to.
Yeah, right. I mean, very, very true. So, obviously, you know, you went through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually you bounced back. And 2020 was hands down your best year yet. Yeah. I mean, like, it was insane. And, like, the stats prove it. I mean, mm-hmm. the stats that we went over earlier, they prove it. I mean, you got individual awards. Your team did fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And also, with that 88% save rate, I mean, that's, like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So what factors influenced you to have such a standout performance that season?
Well, so first off, our team was very good, and especially the defense on our side. Like, yeah, I had an 88% save rate, but my center defenders were amazing. Both of them easily could have went to D1. And then, like, our outside defenders were good, too. We just had a strong team. So, like, I can't take all that credit myself for doing that good, but, yeah, it was just crazy how good our team was. And you know, I think, like, you know, when everyone's good in their own way, it just brings the whole team up. So you know, it was really fun. And then obviously that year was COVID, and yeah, so we didn't know if I was going to get a season. Like, you know, obviously, like, it was going to be my last year. I didn't want to,
yeah,
like, especially from missing the year before, I didn't want to miss a season.
Right.
And so, like, we kind of took it as, like, you know, we had the opportunity to do this, and this was probably the best we were going to be in a long time. So, like, you know, before that season, we've never won a district championship. Never.
Really?
Yeah. That year was our first district championship ever.
Wow.
So, you know, we made history. We did all that, but yeah, it was just pure motivation from just, like, you know, almost not having a season. And, like, I did everything in my power to, you know, keep the season going. It was funny, like, so I think it was not districts, sectionals, finals. We went over to Lakeview in Youngstown.
Yeah.
And we're tied with this team 1-1. And we go into overtime. And I just remember, like standing in the huddle being like, guys, like, I'm not walking out of here losing. Like, I'm just saying right now, like, if I lose, like, no. It's not even if I lose. We're not going to lose.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, had to rile the whole team in. You know, our forward strikes a ball from, like, 40 yards out over the head of the goalie. We win.
No way.
Yeah. And then from that moment, we're like, oh, yeah, like, we're going to be, like, this isn't over yet. Like, we have so much further to go. But, yeah.
Wow, I mean, that's awesome, too. I mean, like, your last year going off a mm-hmm. district championship, I mean, you were definitely proud of yourself, like,
oh,
for
yeah,
that. And also, I mean, having a great like, supporting cast,
mm-hmm.
having a great supporting team, like, once you have that team chemistry, that team bond, I mean,
oh, yeah,
it just beats talent any day of the week. I mean,
oh, yeah,
so that's awesome. And, too, I mean, over COVID mm-hmm. was tough. Like I was talking about my times where, you know, over COVID, you have the virtual, you yeah, know, recruitment processes.
Oh my,
you didn't
gosh,
know when you were going to play. You had to come off the sideline and put on a mask. So
mm-hmm.
just crazy times and a time of uncertainty. So,
yeah,
you know, props to you and your team for doing that, because that's a great accomplishment. And that's something that will be in the record books forever, for sure.
For sure.
So overall, mm-hmm. what was the recruitment process like for you? And what ultimately led to your decision not to play soccer in college?
Yeah, so first, the recruitment, obviously, like, junior year is your most important. And with me not playing, that really took a hit for me.
Yeah.
And because, like, sophomore year, I was talking to, like, big schools. Like, I was, like, in contact with, like, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, University of Cincinnati, like, Toledo, like, all those schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, I really thought, like, I was going to go Division I. Like, I was right on track. And it was funny, like, that injury came right when I was at, like, my best.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, just took me down.
Yeah.
And so during my rehab, I, like, you know, I'm pushing myself. I want to come back to soccer. And it's, like, but while I was taking that time, it, like, you know, I couldn't play soccer a lot. And so I couldn't really do a lot. But all I had to do was really just sit and think. And so I was thinking, like, you know, what after this? Like, yeah. Okay, like, I go play college, what after that? And so, it's like, you know, it's around the time where I have to pick a college. It's like, what do I want to do with my life? Like, you know, it was just something about going through all of that and being like, you know, like, yes, it would be a great accomplishment. But at the same time, it's like, is it something I really want? So I had to sit and realized that it wasn't actually something I wanted. Like, I love soccer with all my heart, but it was just, there was a bigger purpose for me. And, you know, I had to move on from soccer.
100% relate to that because, mm-hmm. you know, like, throughout my time too, I was definitely thinking, you know, there's definitely more, there's definitely a bigger purpose out there mm-hmm. than playing, you know, a college sport. But, I mean, to, you know, have those big time schools looking at you, mm-hmm. you eventually getting hurt, it's like, you know, do I really want to experience this all over again? Do I really want
right.
to, you know, end my college career with, you know, injuries that will be forever lasting,
right.
injuries that will keep on, you know, affecting my daily life.
Yeah. And like, sorry, in addition to that, it's like, I know a lot of athletes that, you know, get out of college and they have no idea what they're doing. And it's just like, I knew that at the time that there's like athletes went through that. And it's like, I mean, what would I do if I was in college, like, playing a sport? Like, I wouldn't have time to do all of that. So it's
yeah.
just, like, you know, I, like, it's not like I'm, like, taking a shot at them or anything, but it's just, like, you know, I just didn't want to do that myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. And, like, you know, you kind of, like, you know, found out, like, your own path, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of other people may have chose that path, but, you know, you really decided to do what was best for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously playing in college would have been great, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
you could definitely achieve a lot more things outside for sure.
For sure.
Awesome. So, wait, before we go on to the next question, you told me a story like
oh, yeah.
10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. Can
yeah.
you tell me about that game?
Yeah, so 2018... it was our senior night. We were playing NDCL, and, you know, like, if you're around here, like, you know what NDCL is. So we were playing them, and this team's good. And I remember having to make, like I remember, like, every 30 seconds the ball was getting back to me. Like, it was that bad. But so I had to make probably around, like, 36 saves that whole game,
yeah.
maybe even more. It broke the record for most saves in a game.
Wow.
But yeah, so we only lost that game 3-0. It easily could have been like an 11-0 game, I'm going to be honest. But like, I just remember it was like hot outside. I remember like coming off the field, like I was debating about quitting at that point. Like, it was so bad. But no, I just remember, like, coming off the field, and then, like, the NDCL parents are like, oh, do you play club? Like, yes, I do, like, and, you know, I'm just, like, I'm getting my car, I'm just, like, I'm tired, like, that was awful, but, no, that was, like, war for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane, like,
yeah.
you know, like, the ball is coming right at you, you're taking
I know.
Hit after hit.
I'm like, get the ball, punt, it comes right back, and it's like, why did my coach leave me in? Take me out, please.
Hey, well, you know, at least, you know, even though you lost, you did
yeah.
break a record, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty.
I kept it at a good score. 3-0 is not too bad.
Right.
There's been worse.
So obviously, you know, you transitioned from, you know, Kenson High School over to Bowling Green
mm-hmm.
University. So, you know, you've decided to become sports management major. You've been very involved on campus there. So what was the most rewarding part of working in communications for Bowling Green, and how did it shape your career aspirations?
Yeah, so I've been in marketing for a very long time, but this semester I kind of just realized, I was like, you know, why not try communications? So I started in August, and I worked a lot with football. I worked a lot with volleyball, a little bit of men's basketball, and soccer.
Yeah.
And it was really fun, honestly. Like, you know, I thought, like, marketing is definitely something I want to do, but, you know, it's an extra thing to add to the resume, first off. You know, I made a lot of great connections from communications, and it's kind of just, like, just bring in another, like, aspect to, like, you know, what I want to do and, like, seeing if that's something I'd like. And I actually really did like communications. So I do think there could be possibly a future in me doing something with that. But, okay. Yeah, so it just really, like, just expanded my horizons at that point.
Wow, awesome. So did you start that, you know, coming in as a freshman, or did you kind of have to, you know, like, find those positions?
So it was funny. Freshman year, I did absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Like, I'm going to be honest. This is a funny story. But so sophomore year, like, you know, I'm in this class, and I barely go to this class. Like, I'm not an academic weapon at this point. Like, well, actually, no. I had a great GPA. I had, like, a 4.0 first semester freshman year. Okay. Second semester, we don't talk about that. And then first semester of sophomore year, like, I'm still doing good. I just, like, just don't want to go to my classes. It's 9 in the morning. I'm sleeping. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so this one, that professor for that class is one of the main faculty advisors for sport management.
Okay.
And, like she's known, like, around the whole major. So we have to turn in a resume.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely nothing on it. And so I'm talking to her, or she's talking to me, and she's like, oh, like, you know, you should probably get some experience. And I'm thinking to myself, I was like, okay. Like, don't tell me what to do. Like, I don't care. I would just do whatever I want. Yeah. And then, like, you know, sitting there thinking about it, I was like, you know, maybe I should do something. So I started working with the ticket office at BG and, like, sales and stuff, and just to get some experience. And then later that semester, I came across this post on LinkedIn. Like, I just got LinkedIn, and they were talking about the MAC tournament up in Cleveland.
Yep.
And they were, like, looking for people to help out with that. And I was like, you know what? Why not? So did it. I got an email back from the commissioner and, well, the associate commissioner, because he went to BG. And, like, so he saw I went to BG, and he was like, oh, like, do you want to, like, and I was like, yeah, like, that was super fun. So that kind of, like, kickstarted, like, oh, like, this is something I can really do. And, like, you know, it just, there's a lot of opportunities out there. And so, you know, I was like, I gotta start taking advantage of it, because, like, you know, even that little thing just, like, pushed me to where I needed to be. And so ever since then, you know, I've just been taking advantage of every experience I could.
Wow. So you know, if it kind of, like, wasn't for that class, and, you know, you had to doing those, you know, assignments, showing up, showing up to class, you know, it kind of all worked out for you, which is cool, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's hard in college, you know, find that drive, especially there's times where you can, you know, just relax and you can hang out and stuff. But, you know, I guess the, you know, the fact that, you know, your professor was kind of like, hey, go out there, go get some experience.
You're
like, all right, maybe she's right. And hey, look, kind of helped out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you work with this professor now, or you're kind of, like, very close, right? Yeah. Wow.
Definitely.
So kind of like a crazy experience there.
Yeah. Yeah. She actually let me, she kind of, well, yeah. So, like, I mean, she's not my advisor, but she definitely helps a lot of students, like, find things to get involved with. So yeah, it's been good. She's helped me out a lot.
Wow. So also with BG, you worked in their marketing department. So how did working at Bowling Green help you develop your skills in sports marketing, and what was the most valuable lesson you learned during your time there?
Yeah, so marketing, first of all, I loved everyone I met in marketing. Like, my old boss now actually works for the Browns, and the other one works for the Pistons, and then my bosses right now are amazing. I love them. And, like, the director of marketing, his name's Taylor, Love Taylor so much. He's helped me a lot. And, you know, just like the other interns, like, I became friends with a lot of them and, you know, still very close. Like, we'll go do things outside of work. And so, but with marketing, it kind of like, you know, I wasn't always like an outgoing person. Like, you know, I had a lot of confidence issues and, you know, I just didn't know what I was doing really.
Yeah.
And then I got into marketing and started like to feel it out a bit and I started really liking it. And with marketing, like, you know, you have to be like outgoing, like you gotta like bring people.
Yeah,
in.
You have to.
You gotta promote what you gotta promote.
Yep.
And like engage with fans and stuff like that. So, you know, it like kind of forced me to get into that, which ultimately helped like myself.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun. And like, especially just being involved with like all these like athletics and stuff like that, like, you know, being there for some like really big events, it was fun. And so, you know, I stuck with it and I got pretty good at marketing. I started doing social media for our marketing team. And so like at football games, I would be running it. And it just really led me to a lot of like good, well, first of all, like networking connections. That was a good part of it too.
It's huge.
Yeah. And like, I really like, I met a ton of people that, you know, have helped me get to where I am today. And then, you know, just like learning marketing in general, I think is just very important. And, but yeah, no, it definitely like helped me a lot. Like, get to where I needed to be now.
Yeah, and plus too, you know, especially with like today's age, like, everything's on social media. In order to promote, you got to go social media. Yeah. You have to do all that stuff. So, you know, like the fact that, you know, you're kind of getting, you know, a head start, hands-on learning. I mean, that's just great experience for your future right there.
Mm-hmm.
And plus too, I mean, I'm sure, you know, posting on social media, like, you know, okay, Bowling Green beat this team, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You see all like your friends like it. You see a bunch of people like it. You're like, all right, cool. Like, you know, it's like a good post.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that, and plus too, having a great team that you're working with, I'm sure probably motivates you to work even harder.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Wow. So obviously you kind of mentioned earlier you worked the MAC championship.
Mm-hmm.
You worked the MAC championship this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And you also worked Women's March Madness, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, that was probably one of the greatest March Madnesses of all time.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So what was it like working during those events? And can you walk us through your responsibilities and any memorable moments from those events?
Yeah. So first with the March Madness, it was the Final Four up in Cleveland. And it was funny, that professor I was just telling you about, she actually was the one that reached out and like gave the opportunity out. And like, I had to apply for it, everything. But, you know, I talked to her about it. She let me go through with it because we went with a group for BG. And so, you know, obviously I'm grateful for that. And it was really cool, actually. So we got to be around, you know, like the ESPN table outside, right outside Rocket Mortgage. We got to help out with the red carpet while University of South Carolina and Iowa were walking through.
Wow.
And so it was like really cool, like being able to see like Caitlin Clark like 2 feet away from me. And I was just like it's wild. But no, like, I mean, while we were working there, it wasn't like, like working these events, it's not a lot of like luxurious things you get to do. Like, it, like, you know, like just be there, like for people that have questions, be there, like, you know, engaging with people. Like, that's kind of like your job. Like, it's not like, again, that's not like you're having to do all this, these cool things. Like, just, you know, be there when people need it.
Yeah.
And just do what you got to do. And so, yeah, that was more for like, you know, the experience of it, but that was fun. And then for the MAC championship, so I've worked the MAC basketball championship twice the past 2 years. That has been probably my favorite week of the year. And, you know, but the hours of it, it's like, you gotta be there at like 8 a.m, you leave at 11.
Wow.
And then, you know, I have to drive back to my house, drive there in the morning, and like, you're dead at the end of it, but it is so fun. And but for the basketball tournament, it's really cool because I was given the opportunity to work with communications. So I was sitting right behind the stat table.
Yeah.
That was my job, and I had to go over and run statistics for CBS, ESPN, whoever was broadcasting the game.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's crazy because, like, I'm sitting, like floor seats right at the Cavs arena for all these huge games. Like, Kent State Akron was playing, OU, Toledo. And it's really cool. And also being there for the women's tournament, too. Like, you know, BG was really good that one year. So being there for that, like, getting to watch it, like, that close and be, like, involved with it,
yeah.
So cool. And then especially for those tournaments, it's so fun meeting people. Like, you're going to meet, like, really, like – like, I remember going the first time, and I was talking to people, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't believe they get to do this for a living. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, sport reporters, like, ESPN producers, met the commissioner of the MAC, and, you know, me and him, like, we built a connection now, and, you know, he even asked me, like, the other day when he came up to BG, he was asking me about, like, how law school applications were going, and it's just, like, having that connection with people is really cool just from, like, helping them out and working these events. And then, but yeah, last year working the MAC was kind of the same thing, had the same responsibility, and I'm probably going to be back this year, which will be really fun.
Nice.
But yeah, and then this year was also my first year doing the MAC Football Championship, which was so much fun. You know, I got to be at Ford Field.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been there. Well, that's a lie. I went for the Quick Claim Bowl, but I never, like, got to, like, go up in the press box, never got to go out on the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, so experiencing that. I had similar role of, you know, well, also credentials. That was another thing. Like, I had to do that for basketball. I did this for football. But, you know, passing out stats, like, I had to go into the coaches' rooms, like, up in the press box and give them stats. You know, not always fun when I had to go into Miami's box and
yeah.
They were losing. And so they were just like, give me the stats. So I was like, okay. Like, you know, and then, like, going down to the locker rooms. Oh, my gosh. That was funny. Like, going to Miami's locker room, I'm, like, trying to get them stats. They're all pissed off. You know, they're losing. Like,
yeah.
It's funny. Like, there's a lot of weird things you experience in sports. And, you know, dealing with teams that are losing is not a fun one.
No, never fun.
But, yeah. No, I actually have a story from my first year working with the MAC for basketball. Toledo lost in the men's championship game, and I remember having to take this one coach to, like, a press conference.
Yeah.
And he started, like, literally, like, running off just to go because he was so, like, pissed off.
Yeah.
But no, it was so funny. Like, you'll deal with some characters in sports. But,
yeah. Yeah. No, you definitely will, and especially being on the losing side of a tournament game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah. It's not fun. Even, like, men's pickup, I'll get, you know,
yeah.
I'll get upset if, like, we're losing. I'm like, come on, like, we gotta win.
Yeah.
But I mean, those experiences are fantastic, and I'm mm-hmm. sure those experiences, you know, have kind of built your foundation. I mean, they've definitely built up your resume,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure, you know, will help with the future and, you know, all of that, and especially having mm-hmm. those connections. I mean, listen, it's all about who you know,
right?
And it's all about the people that, you know, you kind of leave an impact on, the
mm-hmm.
people you share those experiences with, you know, all those interns and stuff.
For sure.
I'm sure they're all, you know, I'm sure you guys are all kind of close. I'm sure you all follow each other on, like,
mm-hmm.
LinkedIn. You kind of stay
on, oh,
yeah, on top
for
of
sure.
what you're doing. And plus, I'm sure you guys come back to, you know, like, the same, like, events. Like,
oh,
the
yeah.
MAC championship. You know, you guys come to the football, come to the basketball. So you guys
mm-hmm.
get to see each other again,
yeah.
which is great. So, you know, just having that is awesome. And, you know, I'm sure you're definitely proud of, you know, everything that you've been through and the
mm-hmm.
people that you've met along the way.
Yeah.
So as you approach the final stages of your college career, what are your main goals for this year, and what are you most grateful for throughout your journey?
So, you know, I'm grateful that classes are over. I don't have to take another class.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, I mean, I do have to take this, like, last, like, internship class. I just have to do a final project, whatever. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, obviously I'm thinking about going to grad school. I'm thinking about going to law school. You know, I could get a full-time job. Like, it's funny. A lot of people ask what I'm doing, and honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's scary, but also, like, I've built such a foundation for myself, and, you know, like, I tell people this all the time. Like, I graduated high school with a 2.7 GPA, and now I'm about to graduate BG with honors. So, you know, it's all about the come up. And, you know, like, things can always change. And now, like, I'm going to have the option, like, and it's just about having the option, too, just to be able to go to grad school, any grad school that I really want to go. I'm going to have my pick of law schools after I take the LSAT, whenever I do that. But, you know, full-time jobs, like, I have great experience. So, you know, there's a lot of ways I can go with this. So, you know, I am just truly grateful that I worked my butt off for this. And, you know, I'm really interested to see where, you know, my life goes. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. It's happened, you know, for years. So, you know, I think I just got to trust the process like I always have. And it's never led me to the wrong point. So, you know, I'm just going to continue trusting the process to get to where I need to be. But, yeah, I'm also looking at working for a sport agency because, you know, I essentially want to be a sport agent at some point.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why the law school aspect's in there. But yeah, so I'm going to try to see if I can start getting into that a little bit more because that is something I really want to do. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, God's definitely got a plan for you. And it's all going to work out for sure. You know, even though you might be lost right now, it's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always is.
Of course.
So now we're at the quote of the episode. So for those that don't know, I'll say a famous quote, athlete or coach, and you'll talk about what this quote means to you and tell me a quote that you live by every day.
Mm-hmm.
So Carly Lloyd, great soccer player, said, "It's hard to deal with injuries mentally, but I like to think about it as a new beginning. I can't change what happened, so the focus needs to go toward healing and coming back stronger than before."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like that quote. It's really like, I feel that a lot, especially like when I was going through that injury.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't focus on the past. You can't go back and uninjure yourself. Like, you know, you just kind of got to adapt. And that was one of the things actually when I was going through a lot of that rehab. It's like, I want to come back stronger. Like, you know, there's athletes that don't come back at all. There's athletes that come back stronger. And I truly do think I did come back stronger. Like, especially, like, the strength in my leg after doing all that rehab. And, you know, like, obviously the accolades from that year, like, they were really good. So, like, statistically, yes, I did come back better.
Yeah.
And physically, you know, and especially mentally, it, you know, I had a lot of mental toughness that has been embedded in my brain ever since that. But, you know, yeah, it's just like, you gotta come back stronger. And if it's like, if you have any doubt about it, you're not gonna make it. Like, you have to have your eye on the prize all the time. But yeah. And then, was that a quote that I live by? Okay, a quote that I live by, don't let the fear of failure keep you from succeeding. You know, there's a lot, like, you know, even these just opportunities to like work in sport, there's a lot of like, oh, like, you know, it's so nerve wracking to do this. Like, I don't want to go there by myself. Like, oh my gosh, like, what if I do something wrong? What if like all this? Well, it's like, what if you don't take that chance? And it's like, you know, don't let like the fear of like, oh, if I mess up, oh, if I do this, like, you know, you got to be scared of not succeeding more than being scared of failure. And so that's kind of how I see it. Like, I've took that a lot, like, throughout my life. But yeah.
That is well said there. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Yep.
That'll do it for this podcast. I mean, hey, listen, always got to take advantage of the opportunity when it presents itself. Mm-hmm. And also, too, resilience leads to future success.
For sure.
Quote by my man, Frank Leone. But that'll do it for this.
Shout out, Frank.
So that'll do it for this episode. Natalie, thank you again for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
We will not have a YouTube version out, but the Spotify version will be out. Hey, it all worked out. Glad you were here to be able to join me on the podcast today.
Of course. Thanks for fitting me in the schedule, you know.
Hey, have to. Hey, always adapt to change.
Of course.
That'll do it. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Happy New Year. I'm very blessed. And new season. Season 3 will be starting in January. So this is the end of these are the last few episodes of Season 2. So it's coming to an end, but it's been great. I think we've had maybe I don't know. There's got to be at least 11 or 12 episodes out for season two. So it's been great. So that'll do it for this episode, and we'll see you later. Peace.
Peace.